Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Tuesday, August 19th. I'm Ula Kuziz. The International Institute of St. Louis saw a big hit to its budget due to federal spending cuts this spring. But canceling the annual Festival of Nations was never really an option.
We understood that we had to move forward. Despite what challenges we were facing, we still had to do this. This was important for our community, and so we stepped forward to make it happen.
A conversation on how the Institute decided to move forward with the two-day multicultural festival during uncertain times. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is leaving his post to take a high-ranking job at the FBI. Fox News first reported that Bailey will be made Deputy Attorney General to the FBI, a position that doesn't require Senate confirmation. He'll be leaving his statewide post with more than 3 years left on his term. Bailey had been rumored to be a finalist for U.S. Attorney General and FBI Director in Trump's administration, but both of those jobs went to other people. Governor Mike Kehoe will now choose Bailey's successor as Attorney General. Potential replacements include former U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway, a St. Louis County resident who previously served as Speaker of the Missouri House. Plans for a data center in St. Charles are now on hold. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports public opposition sank the project.
The data center's developer was applying for a permit to build on 440 acres of land near Highway 370 in St. Charles. The project faced backlash from neighbors worried it would contaminate water and drive up energy costs. Plans for the center were also secret. City officials signed non-disclosure agreements, and a lawyer wouldn't reveal the company behind the project. St. Charles Mayor Dan Borgmeyer said that ultimately sank the data center.
There's not enough transparency, and it turned into a lack of public trust, and the people have reacted accordingly.
In an email to city officials, a representative of the developer said they would prepare a revised proposal. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis saw multiple cascading failures of emergency management that caused sirens not to sound ahead of the May 16 tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lipman has more on an external investigation released yesterday.
The report by the law firm Carmody McDonald places the blame largely on SEMA Commissioner Sarah Russell. It was not clear who was in charge of activating the sirens. The city emergency operations plan had not been updated since 2003. And it says Russell was often absent from the emergency operations center and hard to reach in the days after the storm and did not follow best practices for emergency management. The report also found that 22 of the city's 60 sirens were not working. The city has since repaired most of those broken sirens, and they now sound automatically when a tornado warning is issued. Russell was placed on leave May 20th. In the report, they defend the decision to remain at an off-site training rather than return to the office. I'm Rachel Lipman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A familiar name is serving as the acting commissioner of the St. Louis Corrections Division during the search for a permanent replacement. Tammy Ross's tenure at the jail had been riddled with controversy. She's suing St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery for wrongful imprisonment, and she was demoted late last year for housing juveniles next to adults. Despite the allegations, outgoing jail commissioner Doug Burris says Ross is a solid leader.
I can't go into detail because it was a personnel issue, but I can say that I think that some of the allegations that have been reported have been greatly exaggerated. Her situation was fully investigated, and she is in good standing.
Burris finished a 7-month contract as interim commissioner on Friday. Today marks 10 years since two white St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers shot and killed a black teenager. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, lawyers for Mansour Balbay's father say the legal battle isn't over.
18-year-old Mansour Balbay was shot and killed after two officers were conducting a search warrant. Officers argued Balbay pointed a gun at them, while his family and lawyers argued he had thrown a gun away and was then shot. Balbay's father filed a wrongful death motion, and in January, a federal jury ruled in his favor. The city has appealed the ruling. Javad Ghazali is a lawyer who represents Balbay's father. He says city attorneys are trying to attack Balbay's son's image.
It's gross. It's disgusting. And they're not going to get away with it. And it's laughable when you put that against what the law is.
A city spokesperson said they do not comment on pending litigation. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Hear more about Ball Bay's case on St. Louis on the Air. St. Louis Public Schools did not provide an update on attendance numbers after the first day of school, despite sharing that information publicly in previous years. The information would help shed light on how many families decided to stick with the district after the May 16 tornado temporarily closed seven schools. Superintendent Millicent Borishade says the district will continue its outreach to families.
If students do not show up, then we're going to continue making those calls and finding out where our students are.
District officials say they'll release the data by the end of the week. Four small monkeys who were once illegally trafficked have recently found a new home at the St. Louis Zoo. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, zookeepers believe the spider monkeys' journeys tell an important story of the dangers of wildlife trafficking.
Federal authorities seized all four monkeys as babies last year along the U.S.-Mexico border. They arrived in St. Louis earlier this spring. Primate keeper Shannon Farrell says the young primates are doing well, despite having traumatic pasts. Farrell says wildlife trafficking is especially problematic for primates like spider monkeys because they are so social.
It's a huge issue because not only are we removing these monkeys from the wild, but we're also killing their parents, and so whole generations are being lost.
Zookeepers like Farrell want the four primates to stay together for their entire 50-year lifespan and hopefully remain in St. Louis. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Festival of Nations will take place this weekend in Tower Grove Park. The two-day multicultural festival was in doubt earlier this year when federal funding cuts hit the International Institute of St. Louis, which has organized the annual event since 1934. St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Chaw spoke with Terry Bates, the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Institute, about the decision to carry on with the festival.
The festival itself has always been funded by our sponsors and by those who make donations. That being said, you know, when this year had began and there were some challenges that we were facing that we had never faced before, that question of how to be the best stewards of our money towards our mission and towards our goals as a nonprofit, how we would move forward towards that. And when we started kind of talking about this publicly, the outcry of, you're not going to not have the festival, are you? You know, that just started ringing around all the spaces that we were in. And we learned, we understood that this is an extension of our mission, making sure that we celebrate the, all the different cultures that make St. Louis home and how St. Louis itself is multicultural. That is a large portion of our mission. And so it was very gratifying for us to hear that from all of our sponsors and from all of our partners and friends. And so we understood that we had to move forward. Despite what challenges we were facing, we still had to do this. This was important for our community. And so we stepped forward to make it happen.
For those who are not familiar maybe with the International Institute, what is the organization's mission?
So we are a nonprofit that focuses on supporting refugees and immigrants that come to St. Louis to make new lives here. And, you know, throughout the course of the 100 years that we have been in operation, you know, that mission may have changed a little bit from supporting those from the Srebrenica genocide, from, you know, supporting refugees from World War II. Throughout the course of 100 years, you know, we have focused our mission to making sure that St. Louis, our region, thrives as a result of us helping those thrive that come to St. Louis to make it their home.
Mm-hmm. And resettlement has been severely restricted. So how has that affected the work overall that the Institute is doing?
Well, you know, as funding may have changed, the work is still necessary. The need is still there. So, you know, I think we had 6,000 or so recent over the course of the previous year. And so those resources that we provide are still essential. And so just because there are some changes now in the moment does not mean that the need for the work that we do has left. And so we are still very much focusing on supporting those families who have come here recently and knowing that right now the moment that we're living in is just a moment in time and mm-hmm. that the needs that we do support are going to exist into the future.
What is it that sponsors that did step up tell you about what was motivating them to support the festival?
You know, I think that St. Louis itself is a wonderful example of what happens when a culture becomes welcoming. You know, we have a lot of things that we as St. Louisians really appreciate about our culture. And a lot of these things come from our parents and their parents that have come here and brought their own interests, their own culture, and made it kind of part of ours. And that's very important to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And that's one of the great things about the festival is that, you know, people do celebrate that in their own way. They celebrate it for their own reasons because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different kinds of people. And it's very personal mm-hmm. to a lot of them. And this
such
is
as.
St. Louis is known for its food. And, you know, if you look at what that means, well, there's a lot of very St. Louis specific kind of cuisine out there, like St. Louis style pizza or a St. Paul sandwich. And these come from all over the world. So, you know, the very thing that we call St. Louis cuisine is very, very obviously multicultural. So that's, you know, that could be very personal to some people who may have been raised with that kind of food their entire life. And so, you know, this is something that to them is nostalgia, and it's also St. Louis, and also this is an opportunity for them to celebrate where it came from and maybe what inclusivity their family has brought to that kind of environment that we support.
That was Terry Bates, Director of Marketing and Communications for the International Institute of St. Louis. He spoke with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha. Our Jonathan All edited that conversation. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.